Costs to originate keep rising, even with more technology in the industry. The problem is the core platform. A new LOS can re-architect the process around data, not humans moving paper files. Vesta has built this LOS, and you can learn more at vesta.com. Welcome, everyone. My guest today is lead analyst Logan Modushami to talk about the positive data we got this week and what that means for existing home sales, new home sales, and inventory. Logan, welcome back to the podcast.
It is wonderful to be here, Sarah. I am in Las Vegas, and there's nothing better than March Madness and Las Vegas together.
I bet that is a wild thing. I was just there for ICE Experience Conference, but we missed the March Madness just by like a day or so.
Yes, so go Oakland versus Kentucky. That was beautiful to watch.
So we have so much to talk about. Let's start with existing home sales. Huge beat.
Yeah, it's Let's all go back to 2022, November 9th, 2022. We started with, the October 27th article, the case for lower mortgage rates. That was more of a, there was a lot of market stress around the world. So at some point, the bond market will stop, go lower. And if that happens, if the weekly tracking data gets positive, you go with it. While that was occurring, people still had a very bearish stance of housing going into 2023. And then what happened is we had 12 weeks of positive purchase application data back then. We are working from, I cannot express this enough, how record low home sales are. It doesn't take much to move the needle. So just that 12 weeks of positive data went into 1 month of sales last year at this time. And we went from like 4 million to 4.55 million. That was a very, very big 1 month move. One of the biggest month-to-month moves I'd ever seen in my life in a normal market. Here, same thing happened last year. 5% 10-year yield, 8% mortgage rates came all the way down to near 6.5. Gave us eight positive purchase application data records. Remember, we don't count the holiday weekends. If you're an amateur, you count what happens in Christmas and New Year's in the first week. So normal people don't do that. And it filtered into two reports. The first report we saw wasn't that big of a move. So I thought, okay, maybe it'll filter into the second month. And we got that. And, you combine them together, it's a similar move from record low levels. I mean, historic low levels of sales, because people like to refer this back to the Great Recession levels. Just remember, the Great Recession levels had a lot less people back then working. Demographics weren't that great. And we had a credit market burst. So the credit markets weren't working. Then you started having underwater mortgages and people can't sell because they can't, there's all these things that were happening back then that weren't here. Here, the credit markets are fine. It's just mortgage rates are high. And I keep on stressing to people, we don't need tax credits for demand. We just need lower mortgage rates. So we have back-to-back years now of having just a simple move down and lower mortgage rates, and we have demand increasing. Imagine just 6% mortgage rates for like 12 to 18 months without rates popping up higher or anything like that, where people can, functionally plan to sell and buy homes and everything and that. You don't need gimmicks from the White House, right? You just need lower rates. So obviously what happened this year is similar to what happened last year. Rates went lower, then rates went up again. Hopefully by now, people can understand you don't need mortgage rates to get down to 3% to grow sales from this low level, right? This is why I always say that we are such low level. We can bounce from here, but we just need lower mortgage rates. And boy, I'm telling you, if it could just happen, if the spreads, we talked about this, you and I earlier in the morning, the spreads were good yesterday. And even with the 10-year yield increasing, rates actually, the pricing got better. So, man, this housing market can grow. It's so frustrating to see such restrictive policies, in this. But we've had back-to-back years where it showed this. And just remember, lower rates with duration changes the landscape. We've had this volatile marketplace for now 3 years. We're working from very low record levels of sales. Doesn't take much to move. Lower rates, rising demand. You don't need any gimmicks. Right? That would be the most beneficial way to do it instead of putting in tax credits. And I understand why the White House is trying to do this. This is the third calendar year of the lowest home sales ever. People are complaining about housing inflation, right? You know, this is the, when I was talking to NPR, people are like, well, housing inflation prices, but rates are up. The Fed's policies and rates being is actually inflationary in the sense the cost of living goes up for those who are trying to buy. If you're living in your home and you have a very low mortgage rate, that's a different equation. But here it's just like you can see this market really just wants to grow again. But unfortunately, when rates went back up, purchase application data went negative for a few weeks. So we just have this back and forth war where, God, if things just get better, man, just, man, we can grow sales again.
No, I love that. So, you know, you and I talked after the Fed meeting. That was a great podcast about what happened there. We're recording this on Friday, March 22nd. And, you know, when you're talking about yesterday, the spreads got better. You're talking about the spreads between the 10-year yield and mortgage rates. So what are the factors that do that? Can we expect that that's going to continue? Because that brought rates down just a little bit, right?
So one of the things I like to do in my Instagram stories, you know, because I'm such a nerd. Oh, my God. Everyone has so much fun on their Instagram lives. And I'm sitting there, you know, doing the charts and everything. And, you know, if you look at the history of spreads going back, you know, to the 1980s, there's an initiating stress happens with recessions or market stress. The risk of doing mortgages, right, the early payoff risk is very high. When rates start to cut and the risk becomes less, money, the volatility becomes less, then the spreads can get better. That's how it's worked since the Peloponnesian War. That's why I like to do those duration charts to give people an idea. Here, the spreads have been worse for a very long period now, you know? So I'm telling you that the housing market has had to take a lot of, you know, abnormality hits in a very short amount of time, but you can see what's happening. You have over 158 million people working. You have the best housing demographic patch ever recorded in history. You're talking first-time home buyers, move-up buyers, move-down buyers, cash buyers, investors. You put them all together, it doesn't take much. And hopefully this last existing home sales print showed that. And we didn't even get down to like 6% mortgage rates. So the country has to move on and progress. I always say that a prosperous country, people have sex, they have kids, they buy homes, they move forward with their lives. And that's how it's worked for decades. As rates went up, you know, earlier in the year, we saw an impact of purchase application data. But this 4 million level that has been such a staple of my work for a very long time, you can see what's happening. We can bounce from here. And if the spreads get better by themselves, right, boy, that's 1% lower in mortgage rates by itself. You get down to 6. If the 10-year yield goes down, you got, boy, you got low 5s, mid 5% mortgage rates. You know, I made a joke on Twitter showing this little Teletubby running away. And I'm like, oh, my God, if the 10-year yield and the spreads get better, every housing bubble boy crashing terrible Twitter account is going to be running from Bill the Butcher this time, getting away because we've had now back-to-back years where we've shown this. Like a lot of people said, well, you have to get mortgage rates down to 3% to grow sales. No, we don't. Not from here. Maybe when we home sales are higher, there's another level that we work off from. But we have now 2 years with home prices being at all-time highs and mortgage rates getting, we can grow this because it's really, we're at such low levels of sales. So the spread's getting better when the Fed starts cutting rates, everything. Boy, that was just like, you know, that was encouraging to see. Because we can see the future out here, right? We can see that there's demand here. We don't have underwater mortgages. We don't have banks going under or Freddie and Fannie going into conservative. We don't have any of that here. We just need low rates and not 3% or 4% of everything. And I hope to God Neil Kashkari doesn't come out and go, oh, people are buying homes again at 7%. That's really bad. Oh, no. That's like a declaration of war again, you know? So It was a very positive week in that light. The Ford data started to get negative again. Of course, that's, you know, we're looking out there. That's why that article was highlighting, is this the peak of sales? But I think the other variable here is, remember, sellers or buyers, new listings data. As new listings data starts to pick up, right, those people, majority of the time, are buyers as well. So wherever the rates are, the total cost of housing, they feel comfortable. Right. And that was the detriment of what happened after, you know, the second half of 2022. Mortgage rates went up so much so fast that a lot of people just said, can't do it. right? This is why I'm not a mortgage rate lockdown person. Mortgage rate lockdown assumes that there's all these people that are qualified. They just don't want to give up their rate. People are selling their coupon low mortgage rates every single week for over 18 months, right? But the pool of buyers start to pick up more when rates start to fall down. And in that constant light, you can have new listings data grow. You can have inventory grow from these low levels, and you can have rising sales. So hopefully after this last Fed meeting, right, the Fed didn't mess it up this time. 10-year yields came down. We always talk about that 4.34 level on the 10-year yield. They didn't crack. That's like six times they've tested that level. This is as positive as you could possibly get if this continues to get better, right? If the 10-year yield can go down, then the spreads get down. Beautiful. That's as best as you could hope for considering the environment we're in right now.
That is good news to those in real estate and mortgage. They need it. They need the spring to be a good selling season. Let's talk about inventory. So as always, you track this using Altos data. I know that today is Friday. So Friday night, even in Vegas, at some point tonight, whatever you're doing, I know that you're also going to be looking at charts.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna be in the casino, you know, doing my writing the article as well, you know, getting the data. That's so me too. I've consistently said the best story for 2024 is that inventory is growing, right? And inventory is growing. Of course, you could have some situations in Florida where people can't afford or insurance, whatever. But I'm saying in general, it is such a positive to see new listings data grow. Now, new listings data is trending. Back at one of the things we talked about last year is all I want to see is new listings data just get back to the pre 6% world, you know, and it should happen, you know, because of what we saw last year, and it's occurring. Now, it isn't a lot of inventory, right? The new listings data looks nothing. This is why I've always said that when people talk about tsunamis and crashes and everything, homie, we go back to 2008 and 2011. New listings data was running at 250 to 400,000 K per week, per week. Right, we're still running in this 30 to 90,000 range, which is the lowest range ever recorded in history. So we think about this, right? The new listings, these are the homes that don't get into contract right away. It's not a lot, but it's growing back. And again, as long as mortgage rates don't spike up back to 8% again, you know, you could see this comfortable year in terms of people not pulling back out like they did last year. Last year was a detriment in the sense that active inventory took a very long time to find a seasonal bottom. New listings data were trending at the lowest. That's not a functional housing market, right? But this year is a positive in that sense. I know a lot of people say, oh, it's not a lot. I know it's not a lot, but it is up. That's the key, right? You want inventory to go up. You want to create more balance in the marketplace. You do not want inventory to go back down. And like my worst nightmare scenario, let's just a hypothetical here. Biden gets his tax credits and then the 10-year yield and mortgage rates go lower. And then all of a sudden we don't have a lot of buffer, right? And that's what I was hoping that the 2023, even with 6 to 8% mortgage rates, we saw home prices grow because we didn't have a lot of buffer. We need to create some kind of buffer. And it's not like we can force people to, you know, sell their homes. But in this case, this is the best case scenario of having new listings data and inventory grow year over year.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You know, we talked a lot when Biden came in and he proposed a first-time homeowner tax credit. He also proposed like a first-generation homeowner tax credit. Both of those were going to be really difficult to figure out how to do from an execution standpoint. And now that he's talking about it again, you know, we talked about this, I guess, last week, the week before, like very little chance of it passing. But if somehow it went through, you talk about a nightmare for the inventory. Like, of course, we want to see homeownership grow. Responsible homeownership growing is great. The problem is wouldn't that just fuel more rise in home prices?
If we are anywhere close to 2019 inventory levels, we have a buffer, right? And it can't be we just sit here and go, well, let's just wait 15 years and try to keep rates high enough to try to get a country has to progress forward, right? There's only so much you can do. Again, the best way to deal with housing inflation is supply, right? And we are barely growing with, you know, single family starts, but and the apartment boom is over. So we've stayed so restrictive that the permits for the apartments are now recessionary level. So that market is dead, right? But when you, the housing market is very subsidized already, you know, so when you add a layer in and then if rates fall, and this is one of the things the frustration I have with the Federal Reserve. They talk about, well, when mortgage rates are going to normalize, well, if normalization and then you put a government policy into the effect, and I encourage everyone, if you want to know why I don't like this tax credit policy, you go back to 2010 and we did a first-time homebuyer tax credit. It flooded the market with very upfront demand and everybody went into the market kind of at the same time. We saw a surge in demand and then it just collapsed right back. So it's just pushing demand into a very short pocket and then moving it out. So I just prefer that let's just mortgage rates could get to 6% and just stay there. I'd rather have that than to add in another subsidization to boost demand up there. So it's the housing dilemma. We've always said this. This is a problem. If demand rises and inventory is low, what happens? Prices go up. What do you do? Right. You can't. It's not one of these things. People say, well, let's create a job loss recession. People will have to sell their homes. Those people are crazy. Right. So you remember, we don't like to talk to crazy people. I actually like talking to crazy people because I like to bring them down. But that's not a solution. And plus, that's a very short term solution. You're not going to be in a forever recession. Right. And in that case, mortgage rates start to go down. There's all these things that if you stay too restrictive long enough, stuff like this happens, where the White House is forced to have to do something because home sales. And we just see this. This is why I was so mad when Neil Kashkari said that last year. 6% mortgage rates is a problem for us. You know, people are buying homes again. What do you think people are going to do? Just sit there and wait for 19 unelected officials to like, oh, wait, whoa, we need more confidence in anything. So this time around, if rates get back to 6%, we're not talking 3, we're not talking 4, we're not talking 5. Don't panic. Land the plane. Don't panic this time. This is why I'm very mindful of what the Fed says, because they always say housing demand is subdued. Yes, we can't get any traction. But next time around, let's just let the marketplace work itself out. We don't need to do lower rates and a tax credit at the same time.
No, we were so happy on Wednesday. You were so encouraged because you're like, it sounded like reasonable talk from the Federal Reserve. They didn't go overboard.
Exactly. What I was hoping is that they learned their mistake from last year, right? Last year it was like, you know, the 10-year, they have to have some market players in the Federal Reserve to understand this. If the market is heavily shorted and you go hawkish, the 10-year yield is going to shoot up on you. And then if it goes up on you, you can't have your presidents come on TV and go, I don't understand why the 10-year yield is rising. I don't, so, come on. What are you talking about? What was that Fed presser? So I am hoping that was the case, because it wasn't even just that. They just said, listen, we're doing 3 rate cuts. I don't need to destroy the labor market. We had inflation fall down noticeably year over year with the labor market. That was good. And that was a whole, we have been saying this. Sarah, how long have you been saying it? You don't need to create a job loss recession to bring the growth rate of inflation. All those cranky baby boomers, the days of the baby boomers are coming to an end. Right? Gen X has to come up there. All the financial and economic people from Gen X has to oust these cranky old baby boomers off the tail. And then we could show this, right? Look, the growth rate of inflation fell because it was a global pandemic. This wasn't the 70s. So I'm hoping that that was the case. And that's why Powell and everybody kind of, even the hawks, a lot of people were still in that 3 rate cut call. And I knew it was a very good event. Like I've always said, when stock traders cry and like, frustrated and oh my God, you know, you could see the anger in that. So in that context, it was a positive move. So we are moving into a direction where she could be more positive now, where last year we're like, okay, 8% mortgage rates, the growth rate of inflation has fallen and rates go even higher, right? That confused everyone, right? Confused consumers, the real estate people, the mortgage people, you know, because the Fed policy, and remember, global bond yields are much higher, everyone. Nobody wants to talk about this, but we don't have the global marketplace. Now, if the global central banks are all cutting eventually, right, it's a different marketplace then. But as of right now, it's not the market that we had in the previous decade. And this is why we don't have the 10-year yield below 3% and ranging in that 1.6 to 3% level we talked about for a very long time in the previous decade. Here, it's different. So there's so much potential in this week that was positive. Like, I haven't felt this positive about a week in a long time, because the Fed kind of kept everything in line and the marketplace showed you that you don't need 3 or 4% mortgage rates to grow sales from these depressed levels. Just get sales growing a little bit. It's not going to go back to 6.5 million. We're not going to get 20% home price gains. It's just there's a balance. There's an equilibrium between 8% mortgage rates and 3% mortgage rates. 6% mortgage rates, completely fine. Duration, land the plane, everything's good. We already lost the apartment boom, right? That marketplace is already in recession. We don't want to put so many restrictions into the housing market that we lose the production of single family homes. So thankfully, the builders are paying down rates, buying homes, they're keeping those construction workers employed, and they're trying to finish as much homes as possible in this tough environment.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Okay, so that great segue to my next question, which was new home sales, because we just talked about existing home sales and how we saw that big beat. New home sales, by the time this airs, they'll be out. What do you expect?
You know, new home sales, the purchase application data for new home sales has always done better than the existing home sales market. Because again, like we always say, this marketplace is in sub 6% mortgage world. So they're growing sales, right? In this case, so the new home sales, because the builder's confidence has been picking up, and always remember the builder's confidence index ties to more smaller builders. The bigger builders are not overly represented in that. So the bigger builders are the ones who are paying down rates, have more ability. So new home sales should do better. You saw weakness last year when we started to get to 8% rates, but that's obviously changed. The question is, going out in the future now, does this recent uptick in rates change everything? The builder's confidence actually rose. It's in expansion mode now, technically, the 50 level. I'm not a big fan of that, those levels. I just want to see the change of direction. And if you look at the change of direction with the builder's confidence index, it's very positive for sales. That's how it works. They don't really have any kind of ideological slants like a lot of surveys do. They just go, okay, we feel better that we could sell more homes. Why, Sarah? Because the builders aren't
old and slow.
They're not old. No, they're not the March of Dimes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes.
No, you're right. They're not a charity.
They're not a charity. They're not the March of Dimes. They're here to make money. So you could always rely on people here to make money on when, oh, hey, we feel better because we can make money. It's very simple. Like in basketball, just sometimes it's a team that could shoot better wins the game. So in this case, rates fell down and they feel confident. So it's, you know, we're sitting here, the 10-year yield last time I looked was about 4.21%. So considering what could have happened this week, it's as good as you could possibly hope. And I just want to always emphasize to people that you can grow sales from here. It just needs lower rates and not the volatility. And hopefully, there was a lot of shocked people on that existing home sales report, but it's similar, right? We always talk about the carbon copy of 2023 to 2024. What we don't want is the Fed getting aggressive, 8% mortgage rate. We waste another year. Every year you're closer to death, right? We want to get country moving again in that light. And it's as good as you could hope. Of course, rates have gone up recently and it's already impacted the forward data. But again, the positive side for 2024 is that inventory is growing, new listings data is growing. We're trying to get back to something normal. Normal is a good thing, right? What happened last year with new listings data, not good. When inventory got to 240,000 single family homes, but not good. Those are not positives for the housing market. That was the whole savagely unhealthy housing market, going from unhealthy to savagely unhealthy. But now it's where we're trying, right? The marketplace is trying to get something kind of normal.
So listeners, check out our housing market tracker. Logan does that every Saturday. I edit that. It's a fun one to look at because it's all the latest data on inventory, mortgage rates, 10-year yield, purchase apps, how many homes took a price cut before they sold. What else did I leave out there, Logan?
Well, you know, the tracker is, you know, I love working with Mike Simonson because we're so different on how we look at housing. And, you know, he is such a strict inventory person and I'm such a strict macroeconomic person. And we try to, you know, correlate them together. And, you know, the tracker is designed to keep like a scorecard of what the housing market is doing. 10-year yield, how does it impact purchase application? We do these year-to-date counts and when, you know, how is it looking? And then in this context, the supply and demand equilibrium explains what happened after November 9th, 2022, what happened last November when mortgage rates fell. And then we look forward, right? We look forward with purchase application data, then the new listings data, active listing, price cuts, what economic reports are coming out. And this way, everyone gets to be in the right car, right? Looking forward, right? A lot of people are in places they shouldn't be. It keeps everyone in live to the real data and takes all that speculation garbage that you see on the internet out of the equation. It keeps everyone focused, looking forward. Because again, most of the stuff on the internet is trash. It's garbage. It's trash. It's always been garbage and trash. It's been there for 12 years and this is what it is. These people, listen, everyone, they're lying to you and they don't even believe this stuff, right? If you don't trust me, go ask him. Name, face, forecast. And they're like, I don't do that because you're a coward and you're a fraud, right? Just ask him for them. You don't listen to any single human being that has not forecasted for at least 5 to 10 years, right? Because their job is just to engage people and get people in and doom sells and everything. And some of us, pilgrims in an unholy land, I know. But we're trying to, like, you know, fight this war and we have to try to make it as entertaining as possible, but keep everyone in line with the real data. We can all move together forward.
We can all move together. Well, I love any week that ends this positively where we can, even if people see this YouTube, you can tell you're just in a great mood. You've got a big smile and your language, everything's happy. So it's
it great. Shows what can happen, right? It shows what can happen. I think a lot of people had this belief that, well, we can never grow home sales unless mortgage rates get back down to 3. If home sales were at 5.5 million, we would have a different discussion. But from where we are right now, we've had 2 years now, 2 years. What is it as always? 10-year yield falls, mortgage rates fall, demand picks up. After 2010, that's been the equilibrium. Right here, I can understand how people were skeptical about, well, mortgage rates are still above 6%. Home sales were crashing because they were working from 6.5 million. But this 4 million buyer, time and time again, even with the COVID-19 recovery in 2020, that was a big part of my work. The affordability isn't as bad for this group as it was for 6.5 million. So every time rates go up 1%, you lose a pool of buyers. They go up another 1%, you lose a pool of buyers. But still, we have near 5 million total home sales last year, right? We are going to have near 5 million total home sales this year. Okay, so the pool gets bigger when rates fall. So we have now back-to-back years to show this, even with home prices where they are, even with property taxes, even with insurance, right? You just get a little bit of growth. That's all it is. It's nothing spectacular. Like, I don't even say, like, it's a recovery until we can get above 4.72 million. That there we start to get back into the kind of the pre-COVID decade range or the historical ranges we might have with existing home sales. But we are at such depressed levels right now. Third calendar year of the lowest home sales ever recorded in history. You can grow from here, but it just needs lower rates.
All right. Good news going into the weekend. And I guess when people listen to this on Monday, thank you so much, Logan, for bringing the insight today. And thanks for all the work this week.
Pleasure.
Thanks for listening to Housing Wire Daily. If you haven't already, we'd love for you to take a minute to rate the show and leave a comment. And make sure to tune in tomorrow for more news and insight.